Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Welcome to the Louisville Family Fun Podcast. I'm Stephanie White.
And I'm Maggie Kimberl.
And we're your hosts weekly on Louisville.am.
I'm bored!
Hey, enough of that. There's no boredom when there's Lou Fam Fun. Hello, Louisville. It is Stephanie White from LouisvilleFamilyFun.net, and we have a great podcast for you today, as always. You know, we've been doing this for over a year, so you could be tuning in here the week of, which would mean you're listening here in the summer, or you are going to be finding us at a later date, and you just love our podcast, so you come back and listen to them some more. So either way, we thank you for tuning in. If you're on in your car, listening on an app, like I listen to it through my Bluetooth, or maybe you're streaming this and listening at work. Either way, we really appreciate you listening to our podcast. So what are we going to talk about today? One of the best things about Louisville, and I've said it a million times, and I'll say it again, because it's something that I think is so important for us to realize, is that not only does this city have so much to offer within our metro areas in terms of family entertainment and quality of life, but the fact that we are so proximate to so many wonderful cities that have other cultural offerings is such a bonus to living in the Louisville metro area, because you feel like a getaway. You don't have to say, oh gosh, 10-hour drive. Oh my gosh, airfare is so much money. You don't have to worry about that. You can get to Chicago in 5 hours. You can get to Cincinnati in an hour and a half. You can get to St. Louis in 4 hours. You can go to Nashville in 2.5. Lexington in 1. There's so much, and we are right in the center of it all. So of course, that's good for economic reasons. It brings big businesses here because it's a great distribution point. But for families, consider yourself a distribution point. You could get a little getaway anytime you want, okay? Going to all of these places. So what I really want to highlight is, near or far, within a 5-hour radius, you can explore so much, and I encourage you to do so. Even just within the state of Kentucky, it's fantastic. And my kids get such a kick out of the facts, because they're little, you know, it's not hard to entertain them with little tiny cool facts, but they love the idea that they can walk over the Big Four Bridge and they're in another state, because they're old enough to get the concept of what a state is. And so they go, what? We're in Indiana now? That's cool. Let's go back to Kentucky. When does it start? Where in the river? You know, they're trying to figure that out. So I wanted to highlight something on the other side of the river, this podcast. And Maggie, coming up in the next segment, is going to talk to somebody from the Falls of the Ohio. And I talk about this place all the time. When people ask me, give me some unique places to visit, things to do in Louisville, I say the Falls of the Ohio by far, because it's in Clarksville, it's easy to access, it's inexpensive to explore, and it's one of a kind, not just in this area, but worldwide. I mean, it is the coolest fossil bed. It is so entertaining because it's educational. You're on this like scavenger hunt trying to find these fossils, but also you're getting exercise. You're out at the river. You get a wonderful view of Louisville. It's just an all around great experience. And every time you go, it's going to be different, because if the river is high, then the fossil beds are covered and you're hiking more on the top part or back in some of the trails, or maybe you're going to go to the interpretive center that they have. Or if the river's a little bit on the lower side, you can get down on the fossil beds and go way out and really get down on your hands and knees and look at those fossil beds and look for all the different fossils that are in that rock. And my kids find it highly entertaining. My tip for the Falls of the Ohio is, one, it's going to be hotter on the fossil bed than it is just you know, out in normal, like if you were at a park or something like that, it's a little bit hotter. So you might not want, even though you might say, oh, it's only 90 degrees today, like let's go to Falls, Ohio, it's going to feel really hot down on the fossil bed. So just keep that in mind. I'd say a 75 degree day is just a lovely day for hiking down around on the fossil beds. Also wear really sensible shoes, because you may think, oh, the kids are going to hike. Oh, no. You're hiking with them, because you're just climbing all over and then, you know, following them around. So everybody needs to wear sensible shoes. And also, 3, get ice cream at the Widow's Walk on the way home, because you have to pass it and it's ice cream and it's the cutest little shop. So, you know, that's my 3 tips about the Falls of Ohio. And remember to bring some cash. Well, I'm going to have 4 tips now. Remember to bring some cash, because they have that honor system type of parking out in the parking lot. It's just, you know, a couple bucks, but you need to have cash on hand to pay that parking. But let's see what the experts, you know, the professionals that work there at the Falls of Ohio have to say about it. I know I've done my spiel here on the Falls of the Ohio, but it's just another example of, you don't have to think Louisville, what am I going to do here? The added bonus of living in this city is that you can get, just jump over the river and you have a new experience. Go up the river even further, you're in Cincinnati, another experience. There's so much to do right here around Louisville within 2, 3 to 5 hours. No need to hop on a plane and spend all that money until you experience everything that's so close to home. So let's see what Maggie has to say with the Falls of the Ohio, and give us some more insight about how special it really is.
With me today is Kelly Morgan, the interpretive manager at the Falls of the Ohio. Welcome, Kelly.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, Maggie.
Thank you for being here. Now, I love the Falls of the Ohio. I mean, this is one of those places where, you know, everybody who grew up around here has gone to the Falls of the Ohio. We all have a Falls of the Ohio story.
Yes.
And it's just a really great place to go and roam around. My kids love it because of all the rocks. They can jump and climb and jump and climb and jump and climb, like endless hours of jumping and climbing.
Yes.
Does that ever get old? Do kids ever get tired of that?
No. In fact, when they grow up, they still come out and jump and climb and jump and climb.
I know. I mean, it was fun for me too.
Yes.
And so many fossils.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the fossils, because, you know, there are, what were we talking about a minute ago? The trilobites?
Yes.
Those are the round squiggly ones.
The trilobites, they basically had 3 lobes, but if you can imagine a prehistoric version of a potato bug.
Okay.
They have the 3 different lobes, and these guys were really cool because they're kind of rare to find in fossilized records, and that's what the Falls is known for, is our fossils.
Yeah, there are a lot of fossils over there.
A lot of fossils. 290 species of
wow,
fossils.
Wow, yeah, I was wondering. 290 species,
290.
That's a lot. They're like a handful of ones that repeat fairly often,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. So the Falls, essentially, back 390 million years ago during the Devonian era, which is also the age of fishes, was essentially a coral bed. So if you can imagine putting on your goggles and your snorkel and your flippers and going and dry snorkeling in like an area like the Bahamas or Florida, and you're looking down and you're seeing all of those corals, that's essentially what we used to be 390 million years ago.
I'm glad some of that water receded.
Yes. But back then, the Earth was shifted a little bit, and we were actually sitting right on the equator.
Oh.
And we were a warm inland sea at that time. And
interesting.
So time has gone on. Dinosaurs came and went. People came. Well, mammoths came and went. People came.
Are there dinosaur fossils at the falls, or is it mostly just smaller species?
There are no dinosaurs at the Falls of the Ohio, and that's because the glaciers that were in this area churned and ground up everything so much that all of that went away.
Oh.
And so what we're left with is the stuff that is much, 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 much older.
Huh. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So now I seem to remember, now the last time I was there, I think the river was at, you know, a normal average level. Right. But when the river gets down really low, you can walk out, like, into the middle of it, right?
Pretty much all the way to the Weir Dam, which is that big concrete wall that sits out in the middle of the river.
Uh-huh.
And we do have an agreement with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, that dam that's right there, to mm-hmm. be closed from August 15th to October 15th. And we lead guided hikes to the outer fossil beds. Those are the ones way over there. About once every week.
That's awesome. Okay, that's good to know because I remembered from when I was younger going there and being able to walk out that far. But then since, you know, I've been taking my kids, I haven't gone there at the right time to be able to do that. So
and we do
in
lead,
the fall in is the when fall. You want to hit that.
Yeah, and we do lead guided hikes. One of the things that we do caution parents is that if you have a child younger than the age of 12, you might really want to think about it because there is a couple of areas where we cross water and it is a 3-hour long hike with no facilities.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's something that we definitely ask parents to think about.
Okay.
But that's, we don't prohibit kids from going over there, but it is something we really like you to think about.
Now, one of the things I remember from going as a child is when you hear the sirens, you run. Is that still a thing?
The sirens are the early alarm system that the gates will be opened. Normally, that's about a 30-minute warning. And so, yes, if you are out at the very outer part of the fossil beds, you've got about 30 minutes to make it to shore before the water starts rushing in.
Oh, boy. Has that ever happened? Have you ever been out there when the sirens have gone off?
Oh, when the sirens have gone off, absolutely. In fact, they were going off yesterday morning. And I've actually seen people out there when the sirens do go off and they scurry across. I've not seen anybody hurt. I've not seen anybody swept away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've heard of anybody getting hurt in my entire lifetime.
No, but I will tell you the Swift Water Rescue folks, they do spend a lot of time out there training.
That makes sense. And that's good to, that's comforting. That's oddly comforting.
It is oddly comforting. But it's also really awesome to watch because they have all these rigs and ropes that go out. And so it's really
neat.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, is that the U.S. Coast Guard or who runs that operation?
We do have Coast Guard. We've got the Southern Indiana folks, so the Jeffersonville and Clarksville Swiftwater Rescue folks that are out there.
Wow.
At least 4 times a year.
That sounds really neat.
Yeah.
So do you guys have any special programs going on? I mean, it seems like you guys have programs from time to time.
Well, yes. We give interpretive programs throughout the week. And then
you guys have the birding.
Yes, we have over 270 species of birds that visit us every year.
I love your little bird watching area.
Yes.
That is the cutest little place.
It is one of the, and I may be a little biased, but I think it's one of the best in the Indiana State Park system.
I can see that. Well, it's really nice because, you know, the last time I was there, it was 105 degrees. And yes. So it was nice to take a break and go into that dark air-conditioned room and still
watch.
Be able to look outside and see all the pretty birds.
Yes. And we actually have a master gardener group that's taken that over this year, which is
neat.
Wonderful.
Ooh, I bet that's going to be pretty.
It'll be really great.
So what are some other programs that you've got going on this summer?
Well, we do have a special event coming up June 28th and 29th. It's called Clark Days. It's actually going to be held at our George Rogers Clark Cabin home site, which is about a mile away from the Interpretive Center. Believe it or not, that is still part of the Falls of the Ohio State Park.
Now, is that, does the green, what's it,
the greenway?
Does the greenway go through there?
As of right now, it terminates right at the George Rogers Clark home site. They have plans to extend it further down through Clarksville, but right now that's where it ends.
Okay.
It's right there at our cabin. And we're going to be having on June 28th and 29th from 10 to 4 both days, full reenactments. We have folks that are reenacting the late 1700s to the first decades of 1800. We're going to have historical music. We're going to have period dancers. We have a full Native American encampment, which is going to show people how the lifeways of the Native Americans were
that
in this area.
That sounds awesome.
Right about contact. We're going to have kids activities. What we're going to try to do is we're going to try to give everybody a persona when they get there.
Neat.
And then they get to go through different stations and experience life as they would have lived back in those times.
Wow. Now, I don't think I have seen the George Rogers Clark home site before. Is that like a home, a cabin? What is that?
It is a representation cabin, which means
it's not the actual one. It's a
correct
recreation.
It was an 1820s period cabin that we moved to that site log by log and rebuilt it. And so it represents what George Rogers Clark would have had to live in when he lived there during his time up until 1809.
Now, can you go into the cabin or just see it from the outside?
You can definitely go into the cabin. We're open normally from 10 until 4, Saturday and Sunday, from Memorial Day to right about Halloween.
Is there a charge to go into the cabin?
Nope.
Wow.
And neither does our Clark Days have a charge.
That's really fantastic. I think I need to get over there. Is it like a one room cabin, or is it like a huge cabin? Or,
well, he had on the lower level, he had kind of his living room, kitchen, all purpose room. Okay. And then upstairs, he would have had two rooms. Our representation cabin only has one.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a loft. But yes, you can come in. We have artifacts.
Two story cabin. That's fancy. Stories.
Yes, it was really fancy for the time.
Yeah. That's really neat. Okay, so you've got bird watching, you've got programs. Are you doing any summer camps this summer?
We are. We have a host of summer camps. Basically, they start really next week. So we're talking June, middle of June.
Middle of June.
Middle of June, and goes through the end of July. But we do also have one special camp that's coming up, and that's June 30th, July 1st, and July 2nd. It's a family camp.
Ooh.
So it's not only for the kids, it's for an adult to come along with them. And we're doing everything about nature journaling.
Ooh.
And we'll be covering everything from fossils to snakes to birds to orienteering to historic lifeways.
I just learned what orienteering was. My last guest was
really?
From the Jefferson Memorial Forest, and they're doing a lot of orienteering stuff. And I was like, what's orienteering? And she was like, using a map and a compass. And I was like, that is definitely a lost art.
Yes, and we're going to be incorporating the Greenway with that, because we're going to have kids orienteer to the cabin that we just spoke about from
awesome.
The Interpretive Center.
Okay, that's really cool. Now, is the Greenway paved?
It is.
Okay.
On top, it's currently a paved walking path and biking path that starts at Ashland Park, which is just inside the Clarksville town limit.
Okay.
And it goes from Clarksville town limit at Ashland Park to the George Rogers Clark Cabin currently. They're working on pieces to completely connect Jeffersonville, Clarksville, and New Albany, and they just have a few additional small little pieces they need to continue to construct.
Now, it goes to the Big Four Bridge, right?
Yes.
Is that where you're talking about, where it starts?
It also goes to other places in Jeffersonville, but yes,
okay.
You can definitely, when you get off the Big Four Bridge, you can catch the Greenway. There's one little section that you kind of have to go through that doesn't have the specific bike path, but then it picks back up and just keeps on going.
So you can park on the Louisville side. You know, there's a big thing in the Leo about how people don't like to cross the bridge.
Yeah.
This week, did you see that? It's too funny.
We're aware on the Southern Indiana side.
But so you can park on the Louisville side of the Big Four Bridge, and you can walk across the Big Four Bridge, catch the Greenway, and walk all the way to the Falls of the Ohio.
Yes. And biking, I biked it last weekend, and from 4th Street Live all the way to the Falls of the Ohio took me about 45 minutes biking.
Because that's what, about two and a half miles?
About 2 miles.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not a bad little trek, especially if you're on bikes.
And we've seen a lot of people come over from the Big Four all the way down to the cabin, which is an additional about a mile from us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun. And there's a place over there right at the entrance to your park, the Widow's Walk, they rent bicycles.
Yes.
And they have grown-up tricycles now. Did you see this? This is a new thing they just got.
And I have seen people riding them. They also have tandem bikes, which are also really fun to watch.
I know. I can't wait to try that. I want to try a tandem bike, but I'm kind of a little worried because I'm kind of type A, and I'm like, is this going to work? Is teamwork really an attainable goal for me?
I think once you get on it, you'll catch the hang of it.
All right. So we talked a little bit about the fossils and stuff. Tell me a little bit about the wildlife that lives at the park.
Well, we have a whole variety. We are an urban park, which means that we are right nestled in residential areas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you go to the entrance and walk and look across the river, you see downtown Louisville.
Well, and true. And then there's the levee that's right beside us,
mm-hmm.
right on the other side of that. People live just right on the other side of that. So a lot of people say, well, you probably don't have a lot of wildlife. Well, au contraire.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, I'm looking at the aerial picture, and you guys are surrounded by woods.
Yeah, well.
Well, I mean, you have some heavily wooded areas. You wouldn't really call that woods. That's kind of just like a heavily wooded area.
Yeah, and that's just basically right along the river. We do have quite a few deer. We actually took some pictures of some deer on one of the islands out in the middle of the river. And it was about 2 weeks ago that I was standing in our parking lot and saw 8 deer running right up our driveway and then up over the levee. We also see turkey. We have groundhogs or woodchucks, however you want to call them. We see a lot of raccoons. We have snakes. Yes, we do have snakes. It is wildlife. It is nature. We have snakes.
I'm not afraid of snakes. We actually have ball pythons.
That's great. We just found a black rat snake at the George Rogers Clark cabin that I'm using for programming now.
Great.
We have another piece of our property that's not a piece of property that we advertise quite a bit, but it is a wetland area.
Oh, okay.
And in that area, we have fox, deer, turkey. We used to have beaver there, but we had to, from the Department of Natural Resources, we had to relocate them because they kept damming up a stream.
Oh,
and it was completely
flooding
out certain areas. So we relocated them to another park.
Okay, that's good.
So we have a lot of wildlife and things that people wouldn't necessarily expect to find at an urban park.
Okay, I'm looking at a fossil on my computer screen here. That looks like a sand dollar to me. What is that?
That's a sand dollar.
So sand dollars have been around that long.
Yes.
I did not know that.
You know, we have these fossils at the falls, and a lot of the mom and dads out there may have known them as Indian beads. You'd go along and you'd find them, and they're these little flat, round, they almost look like Cheerios.
Oh, and they've got holes. I've seen those.
Yeah, those were the stalk of an ancient organism that looked like a flower called a crinoid.
Really?
Yes.
And was this an underwater or above water plant?
It was an underwater. Okay. It wasn't really a plant. It was an organism. That round part that you'd pop out to make the bead was the digestive tract.
Oh.
And they had feathery leaves or petals that when plankton would go by, they'd grab them and eat them.
Wow. So like the Venus flytrap of the prehistoric sea.
Essentially, yes.
That's cool.
And those have living cousins out in our oceans today.
Awesome.
As well as most of our corals that we have out there have very much living cousins. So really, if you went snorkeling, just like I said, today in Florida, you wouldn't see too much there that you wouldn't have seen that long ago.
Wow, that's amazing. And you've got a lot of like different rock form. Do you know much about the rock formations at the falls?
Yes, there's, because we're a river and because the fossil beds have eroded away in different ways. There are a lot of different rock formations. Now, when you go on our website, sometimes you'll see these rock arches that look super impressive and people come looking for them all the time. We tried to put one or two pictures in there with kids and you realize that the kids are bending down to be inside them.
Oh.
So they're not huge. They look really impressive in our pictures though. So if you get a chance, go online and see them. But there are a lot of boulders and rocks that are out there. And kind of for the history buffs, those rock formations actually extend all the way across the river to Louisville. The falls, did you know that Louisville and all the cities around here are here because of those rock formations?
I did know that.
I did
because actually there's a lot of history and culture in that area. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of like the Howard Steamboat Museum is integral for that part of it. The Portland Museum.
Right.
Portland is where it is because of that. Yeah. I mean, that's a really big deal because they had to stop. That's why Portland was there, because they had to stop the boats and get out and go around.
Go around. Right. And really, people have lived here for over 13,000 years.
Wow.
So we have a large Native American contingent because when they came here, the fossil beds were still out there. And when the water's really low, animals could walk across the river, which was the only place on the 981 miles of the Ohio River that animals could do that. And so people, being smart, said, hey, look, food. We've got fish and we've got birds. And look, there goes the buffalo and the deer walking across the river. Let's stay here. And so we've had human habitation down there for a really long time. And so we have archaeology, we have geology, so we have all these really cool rock features, and the fossil beds have played a part in all of human history in North America.
Wow.
And we have a little bit of Clarksville history and Lewis and Clark. Did you know that Lewis and Clark met at our George Rogers Clark cabin in October of 1803?
Really?
Did you know that 11 members of the Corps of Discovery that made it all the way out to the Pacific Ocean came from right here in this area?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of a big deal.
Yeah, we are. It's a little piece of hidden history that a lot of people don't know. So that's another story that we love to tell.
Oh, okay. Now, this is one of the fossils that I really like. What's this one? Fenestrate?
That is Lacey Bryzoan.
Oh, Oh, hey, I forgot that's a touchscreen.
Hey, that's great. That's called Lacey Bryzoan, and there is a modern cousin. If you look out in ocean films, you'll see it's kind of flat, and it stands up straight, and it kind of waves in the water, but it has that very lacy look to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lacey Bryzoan.
Lacey Bryzoan, everybody. Mm-hmm. Say that 5 times fast.
Lacey Bryzoan.
Lacey Bryzoan. Well, I am looking forward to getting back out there this summer because there's just so much more that I need to explore, and I really need to check out the cabin.
Yes, please do. June 28th and 29th, Clark Days, you will have a chance to experience the cabin like you won't get a chance to experience it for the rest of the year.
That sounds awesome. Well, it is now time for our Friday Funnies.
Yay!
All right, what did you bring for us?
All righty. So one of the things we like to say down at the falls is we have a geologist that works for us, and we don't like to take him for granted.
Ha ha. That's too funny. Well, yes. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Everybody get out to the Falls of the Ohio and check it out.